Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. The Stew Pot, a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Dallas, is the subject of today's program. I have two representatives in studio to talk about what this organization does and who they help. Up first is Brenda Snitzer. She is their executive director. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much for joining me. I heard a lot about this organization. The good people at PCHAS recommended you. Here you are. We're going to talk about all the different things that this organization does today, but we like to start off with the basics. What is the Stew Pot? What do you guys do?
So the Stew Pot's a ministry that was started in 1975 by the church, First Presbyterian, in Dallas. And what happened was there were people that were hungry and looking for food. And so they started feeding people. So it began as a soup kitchen, but eventually over the years really needed to help people off the street, get back on their feet. And so a lot more programs started. So our mission is really helping people that are homeless or at risk for homelessness to get back on their feet, to provide basic resources and tools for them to start a new life. And we also work with those that are in poverty, so children and families that are on the cusp of homelessness or the working poor, and trying to help them have a good education and to better their lives.
This organization started in 1975.
It did.
How long have you been a part of this organization?
So 2 years, last February, and it's been such a joy to be a part of such a great mission, but all the people from not only the clients, but the staff and volunteers, just working with them is just a pleasure.
How did you come to the Stew Pot?
So I am Presbyterian, and so I've used to bring volunteer groups, my youth group, down to serve at the Stew Pot, both through the children's program, our Saturday program with the kids, as well as serving meals at the meal service. And so that was my first introduction. And when I knew the position was coming open, I was so excited to apply for and be a part of it.
Do you have experience in nonprofits? What is your experience work-wise?
So I've been in nonprofit work about 30 years. My parents, even before I was an adult, raised us to serve and to volunteer in the community. And then I have degrees in education and social work. And so I've been in various organizations, but my very first job out of school is as a probation officer in South Dallas, Oak Cliff, and West Dallas. So I have a real love for the people in the inner city, because they're the lower income and those in poverty really do have a lot more needs that a lot of us don't always see and don't understand, for people that are just born into generational poverty.
What types of groups and organizations, what missions did you work on when you were a kid? You said this was a family endeavor. What did you do when you were younger? What do you remember?
So my little sister had diabetes, and so my parents were very involved in raising money for the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. And then my parents also, my sister went to Lutheran High School, and so we helped raise money for Lutheran. It was a private school, but, you know, a lot of people didn't have money to pay for a private education, so scholarships. So my mother was a fundraiser for them. So just kind of came naturally. And then I've been with other organizations like Girls Incorporated and Big Thought in the community and a few others, as well as my church when my children were small. So I've done a lot of different things.
You've done a lot, but you started off pretty serious. If you're a probation officer in South Dallas, that's some heavy work.
It is.
What drew you to that?
I think, you know, working in the community, particularly with those in poverty, I saw so much where people wanted to have a better life but didn't always have the opportunity. And I wasn't really the criminal justice kind of bent. I really was social service. And so it was just real natural to move into the nonprofit community from really seeing the need in those communities to really going into more of a social service helping profession.
Served as a motivator.
Yes, very much so. And I actually also like the nonprofit model where it's people in the community supporting organizations with voluntary dollars and volunteer service. And then also help people that come to nonprofits. It's not just a handout. It's usually a hand up and trying to help them, you know, move beyond their circumstances.
I wanted to talk about this later, but you're already bringing it up. It looks like this organization really focuses on preventative measures to make sure that people don't end up homeless. Is that something that the organization has always done?
So, you know, when we started with the soup kitchen, it was people that were down on their luck and didn't, you know, maybe were homeless or were not able to get a good meal. And so they were serving meals. But even really early on, we started with our children and youth program. There was a school nearby that had a lot of low income and homeless children and families. And so they adopted that school and started working with them. And that was actually at the very beginning of the Stew Pots beginnings. And so that program is our children and youth program. And so that is a prevention program where we have after school on Wednesday nights and on Saturdays all morning. And then during the summer, we have a 7-week Monday through Friday program for children and families, first through 12th grade, working with the kids so that they, you know, support their education, help do a lot of extracurricular, think about college in the future. And then with that program, we've, because it's been going so long, and the kids are very directed towards college and college visits and really thinking about their future education, we have over 50, and at times we've had over 60 young people on college scholarships, and we've graduated a lot of young people. Some start out at community college and then transfer to four-year institutions. Some go right into four-year schools. We've had kids that have gone on to law school and med school, and because of the longevity, a lot of those kids come back and then mentor the other kids that are in the program. So and that is a prevention program, helping those families. Those are the working families, working poor, that their kids then make, a lot of transitions and help their families later on.
A successful program, how popular is it? How many kids are you able to help?
So about 150 kids come to us throughout the year, and then we're able to support about 100 families on our family stabilization. Once a month, we do food distribution, and so help them with groceries, and we get food from the North Texas Food Bank. We purchase at a, very reduced rate the food and then distribute it to our families so that they can stretch their grocery dollars. We also have a clothing closet and resource kind of space so they can get things like that at reduced costs or free clothing and be able to stretch their dollars for rent and other needed items.
For the kids that are a part of that program, are the families a part of Stew Pot programs? Do they come independently? How do kids find the organization?
So it's mostly word of mouth, and we really rarely usually have a waiting list. So we do ESL classes as well as parenting classes, and we do help support, the parents and communicating with the schools, because a lot of the families are Spanish speaking, and so the children are usually English speaking, but most of our staff are bilingual, so they're able to really support those families in helping with the educational process with kids.
I saw it on your website and also a flyer that you gave me. The website, once again, thestewpot.org, is that you help the kids in a recreational sense and you also help them in an education sense. You're doing both to make sure that they can help their futures, but also enjoy being a kid.
Yeah. If you go to our website and watch, there's a really great video about the children and youth program. You'll see them doing things like just going bowling. And Myra, the featured person in the video, talks about she didn't get to do those things with her family, going to the movies. You know, she went with the Stew Pot, but her family, you know, was always working, and they didn't get to do those kinds of things. So the recreational and the things that they were exposed to, she said the first time she ever went out of town was with the Stew Pot, and it was to go to look at colleges. And those were just memories and experiences that, you know, really shaped the young woman that she is. And she said she'd never really even thought about college until going through those college visits and really thinking about what did her future hold. And she's an amazing young woman that's a teacher now today. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
How many, you mentioned it already, how many of these kids are coming back and helping the organization or the community in some capacity?
Right. Well, we have dozens that come back and help with the program. They may come mentor or volunteer or, you know, tutor, you know, just visit. Our kids that are in college come back every year. If we do a kind of a Sunday, special Sunday scholarship, Scholars Day. And so the church gets to support and encourage. And some of them have found jobs through church members, you know, talking about what their major is and what they're looking for in a job. And so it's a really wonderful family of folks. And a lot of them have siblings that have come up through the program, too. So you'll see a number, 3-4 kids from the same family that have gone through our program. And Myra even talks about in her video that it's a generational impact that you're making when you support the children and youth program, the Stew Pot.
When they're finally old enough, too, are they excited to come back and do this and not necessarily just show off what they have done, but show everybody else what's possible?
Oh, absolutely. They, you know, it's great for them to come back and talk about their careers, which they do a lot of for the youth, but even for the children's program, just to talk about where they went to college or what their profession is and just tell them about what they remember about the Stew Pot, the sleepovers and the fun things that, you know, all of us loved doing when we were kids, you know, with our church or a lock-in or whatever. That's kind of the things they like to talk and share.
Brennan Snitzer is the executive director of The Stew Pot. You can find them online at thestewpot.org. This organization is known, I would say, for feeding the homeless, but as we're already getting into, you guys do a lot more than that. You've been the executive director of the organization for 2 years. What have you been working on? What did you want to work on when you took over The Stew Pot?
So one of the things that I really wanted to see, which I think all of us that work with the homeless, we want to try to end homelessness, whether it's for that one person that's homeless or for it's a big issue in Dallas. And so collaborations is what I've done most of my career. I've worked at a lot of organizations, so I know a lot of different entities. And so really working with all the different organizations in town that are trying to provide homeless services, that was one of my goals, was just to have stronger connections and see how we can help. One of the issues when I first got to the Stew Pot was that everybody had identified a transportation network and wanting to have transportation for those that are homeless or experiencing homelessness to be able to get from place to place, because if they're trying to get meals or they're trying to get their IDs or they're trying to get to a resource that might have housing for them, that's a challenge if they're walking. And a lot of them are, you know, much older than me, you know, grandparents' age, parents' age, and it's tiring. And, you know, depending on the weather, the heat or the cold. So we identified maybe having some kind of transportation network. And this year, about 4 or 5 months ago, we were actually able to get that funded by the city of Dallas. There's about 6 of us partners that put that together. City Square, Austin Street, Our Calling, the Stew Pot, North Texas Behavioral Health, and Salvation Army. We all worked together to put together this proposal. City of Dallas and those entities were all putting money into it. And so we now have a transportation circuit that takes folks around. So that was exciting to get that project funded.
Do you have buses that take people around? How is it set up?
Yeah, so there's two. One's a 25-passenger kind of mini bus, and the other is a van, and they have a route that goes around. One is a bigger route that goes to the VA and some other locations, as well as all those partners' locations. And then one is a shorter route, just kind of more close to downtown. But it really does move people around to those different entities. And like, we serve meals at the Bridge, which is just a couple blocks over. We serve 1,000 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so folks, you know, when they come to the Stew Pot, they're getting ID and casework services and counseling services and all those kinds of things. But then they need to go over to the Bridge for meal service. And that's kind of the way it is. For partners, they refer people for ID services. We might refer back to, you know, the VA or Salvation Army for housing, for VA veterans assistance. So that was the reason we wanted to have this network.
So you've kind of set up the Stew Pot as a hub. People can get food and then start their day, essentially make their way around the city, go get the services they need so they can get back on their feet.
Right. Yes. And there are several different shelters, like Austin Street is overnight shelter. The Bridge is overnight shelter. So is Salvation Army. So all of those shelter services then can come to us for certain things and to you know, the VA and different in Parkland for different resources. Most of us have medical, dental, mental health services at our locations, and just like the Stew Pot does. So those are resources that if somebody is experiencing homelessness or is in severe poverty, then they can come to us, as like a lot of the other entities.
Have you found that the transportation service is helping the different organizations to work better and more closely together?
I think it was, you know, not only does it help them, our clients work closer together, but it was a project that we could all focus on. We all try to really work closely together. We're all working on inclement weather, which, you know, the city of Dallas is working on. We're all trying to solve some of the same problems. And the more that we can work together and have solutions, then the better our clients are going to be for that. So
1,000 meals a day.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot more than I had anticipated when I was doing the research for what you guys are doing. Is that enough? Do you need to do more? Where are you guys at in terms of, I mean, 1,000 meals is a lot of food per day.
And that's about 300 or 400 meals each, you know, at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we have, thankfully, volunteers. So our staff does the meal service. They cook the food, they prepare, you know, they do the nutritional planning and all of that. And we coordinate everything and we coordinate all the volunteers. We have 16,000 volunteer slots a year that we have to fill for helping us serve. And that saves a lot of money from us serving. And so they actually coordinate, you know, about 15 volunteers for each meal service. And so we have groups, we have corporate groups, we have churches, synagogues, organizations, individuals that come in. And again, if somebody's wanting to volunteer, they can go to our website, and there's places for the meal services, for our clothing closet, for other opportunities for volunteering, including our event that I think you were going to ask me about coming up.
We got the event coming up.
Yeah, and so we have an art program, we have a gardening program, we have a music program with the Dallas Street Choir that's a partnership. And so there are many, many places for folks if they want to get involved and volunteer, and there's many ways that clients can receive services and try to have a better life or get back on their feet.
One thing I'm not quite clear about is the restaurant Second Chance Cafe, is that separate from the food service?
So we're our meal service program, we serve at the Bridge, and we call that the Second Chance Cafe. So that's the name for the cafe, the cafeteria at the Bridge, and we run everything there. So that's how it is. And then we do have a food recovery program. So one of the ways we keep our costs down is by restaurants donating food to us, or the convention center, like if they've had an event and it gets canceled for some reason, they'll call us, we'll go pick up the food. As long as it's been prepared commercially and kept hot or cold or the right, you know, temperatures, then we're able to go and pick up that food and use it at the Bridge or with other clients at the Stew Pot.
I love that. You go to events and you see so much food and you know that it's all going to go in the trash, but luckily you guys are there to pick it up and make sure that people are actually able to eat. So it's a mix of finding food and then also the food that you cook, and that's how you're able to produce, you know, 1,000 meals a day.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. All right. One of the really cool things that I saw, and it looks like it's part of the case management that you guys offer people that, that want your help, is ID services. It's something that gets overlooked. I don't think a lot of people really even think about it. What happens in there when I say ID services? What do you think of?
So when folks become homeless, a lot of times, you know, they might have gotten evicted, or maybe they were put in prison, and they're or they are staying out on the streets before they realize how to get shelter. Then they may have their belongings stolen or lost because all their things were taken, in an eviction. So they need those IDs, like their Texas ID or their birth certificate or Social Security card, to be able to get a job or to get back into housing, even to be able to be in shelter. They need an ID to verify who they are. So the StuPod is one of the specialists, the experts that people refer folks to get those resources. And so our caseworkers help with that. They help with a lot of other services too, but that is definitely one that we're known for.
Is that a hard thing to do? Is it hard to get somebody an ID?
Probably Santos, that you'll be talking to later, will probably be able to tell you a little bit more. It depends. Mm. It depends on if they're trying to recover documents that are here in the state of Texas or if it's out of state. So he can probably share more about that with you.
Another one that I've never actually heard of this is a document bank. Uh-huh. For people that want your services. How does that work?
So once folks have their IDs replaced, then we can be that document bank, kind of like a safe, like if you were to have at the bank, a Social Security, lockbox or whatever. We're that lockbox for them so that they don't have to worry about those documents being stolen again or lost because they're staying on the streets or staying in a shelter where they don't have somewhere to lock up their...
Is that a unique service?
A little bit, yeah. There aren't that many do that. So that is one of our benefits to our clients.
It sounds like the organization really does listen to what people need. Yeah. And then applies that. Is that where the strength of this organization comes from, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think one of the unique things is over the years, we've really tried to help find where the gaps of services and how can we as the StuPod do that. But we've also helped build other organizations. We helped with Genesis and Austin Street get established. We helped with Interfaith Housing get established. So it's sometimes the StuPod adding services that we might need, or helping other organizations get started because we've seen a need, like the Transportation Network. You know, that's not something we had to do just to us. There was a lot of us that wanted that service. And so we're always trying to look at what are the unique areas that we can help out.
Do you want this organization to grow? Are you happy with where you're at? It sounds like a lot of your efforts have been pulling in people that are already providing great services and developing more of a network. Okay. How do you want this organization to, how do you want it to be in the future?
I think, our ultimate goal would be to end homelessness. And again, whether that's ending it for that one person or as many people as we can, unsheltered people, that's a huge problem in the city of Dallas right now. At the end of this month, we're going to be, doing the point in time count, and that will indicate how many people are unsheltered. Last year, there was over 1,500 people that were unsheltered, not in shelter, on some of the coldest nights of the year. And
this is just in Dallas.
Just in Dallas, and that's because there's not enough beds. There are, there's some great shelters out there, but they have a limited number of beds. And so affordable housing is a huge issue, not having enough shelter beds. And so there are a lot of people that are on the street, and the StuPod, it tends to be the place that a lot of those unsheltered folks come and get services. And so we would love to see that number go down. That would be wonderful. We want to grow our services to meet the needs. Like our counseling program grew. That's something that wasn't a year ago we didn't really have. We did some counseling, but we've grown that service because folks have trauma. And we started realizing the more that we could do some short-term emergency crisis counseling or some long-term, trying to help move people along as they're making those steps to getting off the streets and getting into housing, they still needed more support. And so the more that we can look at what is that it's going to take to get them to stay housed or to get, back on their feet, those are the kinds of things we want to do.
The unsheltered population of Dallas, are you guys seeing it go up? Are you seeing it go down? What is that? What does that look like for the city of Dallas?
So for the last 2 years, it's increased 9% each year, so 18%. So,
do you guys have an understanding of why that's a significant jump?
So most of us believe that it is because of the lack of affordable housing, and that the great development, economic development that's happening in the city of Dallas is wonderful, but there's not enough affordable housing being left. So once, housing stock that's been torn down because it was dilapidated, it really did need replacing, but it's replaced with housing that a lot of people, even coming out of college, can't afford because it's really high-end housing, and it's right downtown to where the jobs are. And so we've got to continue to look for developers that are willing to build some affordable housing for those that are the working poor, because they can't, if they're taking places to live like way far away from the job, then they have to spend a lot on housing as well as transportation to get to jobs. So we're creating this bigger and bigger haves and have-nots, and not giving them somewhere to live. So a lot of people are fine, they'll get their housing taken, and then there's nowhere for them to go, and they're whole families that are looking for affordable housing. And Family Gateway is a great organization for helping homeless families. But again, their caseload continues to grow because of families that are getting evicted and don't have somewhere new to go.
I've asked other people that work in your sector the same question. Don't you think that isn't somebody leaving a lot of money on the table by overlooking this? It gets overlooked, and it really seems like there's a lot of money to be made by filling this need. Do you not see that?
Well, I guess the developers see that they can get more money from bigger, bigger rents and I believe in prosperity and, capitalism. It's just we need somewhere in the middle too, lower, middle, upper. And so there are a lot of organizations that are really looking at how do we move into some affordable housing? How do we get developers to move into more affordable housing? And the city of Dallas is looking at how do we do that. So I think that's probably where we all have to keep our focus if we're ever going to get people move from being homeless to being housed, even on the edges. And then what are the wraparound services that we need to have to help keep people housed, that it maybe we're chronically homeless and they have just so many more needs?
Brenda Snitzer is the executive director of The Stew Pot. Their website, thestewpot.org. We've talked about your transportation service. We've talked about how you guys are helping kids. Food services. You mentioned counseling. There's still a lot that's in there. You have just case management in general. Also, vocational services and medical and dental. Is there one that you want to talk about? Is there something that you really like in that grouping?
Our art program is something that's really unique.
Okay, I'm glad that you brought that up. That's great.
Yeah, and so if you go, again, on our website, or if you want to come to see our gallery, we usually have galleries going all around town, sometimes at churches. It may be a one-day pop-up to see our art program, or it may be we had it at the library for a couple of months. We've had it at the Dallas Love Field Airport. We do them around town, so we usually have our art up somewhere. Right now we're doing some renovations for our art studio, but we're about to put our gallery back up, and so people could come down and see at the Stew Pot. Our artists range from folk art to abstract to just some amazing works that you just, until you see it, you wouldn't really know how talented folks are. And they get 90% of the income from any paintings or art or sculptures that they sell. And 10% goes back into the program because we provide all the materials.
I was just going to ask why an art program would be important for an organization like this, but, you're kind of already saying it.
Right.
They're making money off of their art.
Yes.
What else does it provide?
Well, I say that's like our gardening and our music program and the art. It's a life-affirming activity. I like to call it that because all of us want to have joy in something other than just living. And so for many of them, either singing or doing art or gardening, that is something that makes them really enjoy life when their circumstances may be really sad. And so it's just a way to really give them an outlet that they might not otherwise have.
All right, we have blazed through half an hour. Let's kind of start wrapping up real quick. If people want to volunteer with this organization? What's the best way for them to do that?
So again, going to our website and looking, there's several volunteer opportunities from the clothing closet to meal service to the art program, and then one-time kinds of volunteer opportunities. You can go on there and just browse and see what you might be interested in. You can come down and tour and talk with our volunteer coordinators. So going through our website is a great way to get that started. We also have an event coming up at the end of or middle of February, February 20th. So 2-20-20 is the date of the event called Soups On, and it is our 12th annual event where Brian Lesher, who used to own and be the lead chef for The Grape, that just recently he's transitioned to a new role.
That was a bummer.
I love The Grape too. And but he's still around, and he will probably still do his mushroom soup. But he recruits 12 other chefs that they do their specialty soup. So you come to the Soups On. There's a wonderful program. We'll have a judge, Craig Mitchell, that started a running club with Skid Row, and there was a documentary done about him, and we'll be actually doing the documentary at Alamo Draft House on the 21st, that Friday night after, or 22nd after the event. I didn't know that 21st. So can get tickets and information on our website. It's Soups On. It's a great day. It's a great way to support the Stew Pot, and we also look for volunteers for that as well.
All right. So the organization is the Stew Pot. Don't forget, on February 20th. They're having an event over at the Omni in Dallas, the 12th annual Soups On. Tickets still available at thestewpot.org. I've been speaking with Brenda Snitzer. She is their executive director. It was great speaking with you. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.